A few weeks ago, you might remember, I went for a health check.
So you do have a bit of a murmur on the heart.
Yeah, murmur was discovered. So I was then referred to the Beacon in Dublin for a heart echo, where I was examined for about 25 minutes. And I got a call just a couple of days ago from my GP with the results. And thankfully, it's all clear. So I've been given the green light to keep going on our journey to run a marathon, which is less than 6 weeks away now.
Get active with Midlands 183, powered by HereMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Here when you need us. HereMed.ie.
I called back into colleague and in Physio Central in Tullamore, just across from the hospital, and I got a little more treatment on the calf. And the new plan was to walk 2 minutes and jog at marathon pace for 30 seconds. Do that 16 times. Comes to about 5 kilometres or about 40 minutes. Then another day to walk 1 minute 30 seconds and jog for 1 minute at marathon pace 16 times again to test out the injury. So hopefully all goes well this week. We have about a week and a half to go until the half marathon in Mullingar, and one of those running with us on the day is Midlands 103's head of sport, David Hollywood. So let's see how David's getting on.
First things first, congratulations on finishing your first race, 5 mile in Collinstown. There is no better feeling, and you may well get addicted to running in these races, especially if the leg's holding up as it is. So well done on your recovery. From our perspective at the Tullamore Harriers, this evening was 8x800 metres. Absolutely blasted that session. Totally and utterly emptied, but great fun nonetheless. Got a long run in on Sunday as well. Did 18 slow K out towards Lanali. Happy with that too. Keep up the good work.
So something amazing has happened recently, because this is, of course, all for a good cause. It's for Bardstown Children's Charity, and we can't do it without your donations. And not only will your donations go directly to the charity, but when you donate €10 or more, some incredible businesses from all across the Midlands have got in touch and they've offered their support. They've offered prizes, and we have a bundle worth up to €1,400 to be won. And that includes one night bed and breakfast for two people in the Midlands Park Hotel in Portlaoise. Cloud 9 Travel, based in the Bridge Centre in Tullamore, are giving you €100 off your next holiday. The County Arms Hotel in Birr are giving you some afternoon tea for two, a glass of Prosecco thrown in as well. OCM Energy are giving you €300 off your solar panels. Expert Electrical in Tullamore are throwing in a Nutribullet. You'll get an ultimate distillery tour for two people at Tullamore Dew Distillers. The Central Hotel are throwing in afternoon tea for two people. And you could win all these when you donate €10 or more before Friday, March 15th. You could also win a year's gym membership in the Unit Gym in Clara when you donate before March 29th, and a signed Manchester United jersey when you donate before April 12th. And you can donate right now through midlands103.com. Just click on Get Active with Midlands 103. That'll take you directly to our iDonate page, and you can find the link pinned to the top of our Facebook page, and you can find it on our Instagram page as well. So best of luck.
I run the marathon to the very last mile.
Now, test run number one went well, thankfully, and that took place on grass as opposed to on the road, just to ease back in, and no sign of the old injury flaring up again, thankfully. Then I took to the roads on the bike, where I covered 47 kilometres doing the Mullingar half marathon route twice. Then it was time for test run number two. Run test number two, done and passed, thankfully. 5 kilometres, about 38 minutes. I have a combination between walking and jogging. Oh God, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that passed. No aches or anything like that. A little bit of kind of leftover aches from cycling yesterday, but nothing major. But thankfully the calf muscle survived that, because if it didn't, I'm gone. But no, thankfully got through it. That's another one down. Please God, please, please God, run the road to recovery. God, I'm so happy. I'm just absolutely ecstatic. Oh, thanks be to God. Two running tests done, passed, and I'm looking forward to chatting to Cahill to see where we go from here. Can we push it on a little bit? What can we do? It'll be 2 weeks by the time I'm recording this to the half marathon in Mullingar, and I really, really need to be ready for that. So
hopefully we'll come up with something that'll see us through on the day.
Dr. Diane Cooper from EduFit in Port Arlington rejoins us for an update, because Diane knows all there is to know about endurance after circumnavigating Ireland in a double kayak taking 40 days and 40 nights. I told Diane how the journey was going today.
Like, the situation you're in right now, my fear for you there is a very good chance, I've just been honest, there is a very good chance that you are absolutely going to cause yourself ferocious harm. You have over 40 kilometres to run and you already have a grade 2 tear. I sound like negative Nancy here. I'm actually just from a protection perspective for you. If you fully intend to do it, go and do it. I wouldn't expect to run it. It's not going to happen for you. It just won't happen. And there's a very good chance that calf won't make it. If it does, just be mindful that you'd really need to take care of it for many, many weeks after, I would say. So look, I'm not going to discourage you to do that, but there's very likely going to be an undesirable consequence. And that's just something you have to accept, I think.
My plan is to, let's say for the half marathon, what I'm going to do, look, if I have to walk it, I'll walk it. You know what I mean? As long as I get to the start line, get to the finish line, that's my priority. But my plan for the marathon, which is the ultimate goal, is to, let's say, if I can do a jog for about 10 kilometres and then I'll walk for a kilometre or two and then take it maybe another 10 kilometres and then another walk and then maybe break it up into five after that as I go along. Does that make more sense, Diane? Would that ease the pressure on the body?
You'll be forced to do that anyway, Peter. To be honest, you won't have another option. What I would say to you is, first of all, make your goal the half marathon, because that's going to tell you a lot of what you want to know, right? Mm-hmm. So take the approach you're taking for the half marathon, run, walk. And then be mindful that's only obviously half of what you need to do. Yeah. So I actually think there's no point in discussing the marathon right now. I think you need to do the half marathon. You need to see how you get through it, and you need to see, can your calf tolerate it? And if it can't do the half, it's absolutely not going to do the full. So my best advice would be set your sights on the half. Keep going. You're in treatment. You know, you're trying to keep your cardio up. You're doing the best that you can. I would say keep going with the approach that you have. Do your half marathon and then evaluate where you are in relation to what's next.
What should I avoid in the meantime, Diane? Is there anything, you know, in order to, like, I'm at a point now where I need to switch up things a little bit more, need to be more conscious of my diet. I'm trying to kind of fit in whatever exercise I can do. And, you know, rest days are important as well. I don't want to overdo it. But is there anything you think between now and then I need to avoid, or something I need to do now in order to make sure I'm ready for the day?
You're trying to do this big task on an area of the, like, there's a huge requirement on the calf and soleus for this event, hugely. And it's already battered. The only advice I can give, like, to Peter, if we were to start again, and maybe we might have a chat if you ever decide to do a marathon next year. The goal would be to give yourself more time and obviously, you know, slow and steady and not get injured and all the rest of it. But we are where we are. Nutrition is so, so important. It's absolutely so, so important. But the marathon is so long. Like, it's you'll know what this feels like once you do one. But it's all about the conditioning in the body. Like, you can't bluff your way through a marathon. So, like, once you start hitting 17, 18, 19 plus miles, this is where all the hard work should kick in and should help you get through the last six or seven, which is where the real endurance test comes of the mind and of the body. And if you were never injured, once you start hitting 20 miles, things start to change for everybody. Which of course you're going to get great experience at in the next few weeks. So the only advice I can give you at the moment, it's just, you're not in an ideal situation. So the only advice I can give you is you just need to protect that calf the best you can. You need to stay in treatment. You need to obviously not put, like, ideally you wouldn't push through those types of injuries, but sure, what do you do now? So I don't, being honest, I don't have any really specific advice in that I don't, I feel like you don't have a chance of doing the work that needs to be done. And I know that sounds really negative. So therefore, your only option is to kind of struggle through the best that you can, but not cause yourself any more harm. And the only way that you're going to do that is, like, your big test is going to be that half marathon. So you need to do that, take the approach that you're taking, and you need to make a call after that as to what your body will do or won't do at that time. And the half marathon, to be fair, is a very good test. So I think that is, if in your case, I think that is a good approach, and I get very focused on that.
The plan was to, at this stage, we should be tapering almost. We should have peaked with about 30 kilometres already, let's say last week. And we were planning to do the half marathon while tapering down. But my thinking was, if I do a half marathon on St. Patrick's Day, then the following week, I do a little bit more than a half marathon and then I taper. Is that cutting it too fine?
Peter, genuinely, you don't, there's no time for tapering in your plan because you haven't actually got up to a level of training that would allow you to taper. So I in your case, I wouldn't actually do that. In your case, I would be trying to slowly and steadily each week build on your long run, because your body has no idea what it's like to walk 26 miles, never mind run it on an injured calf. So you don't have time for tapering. So like my tapering for you would be like 2 weeks beforehand where you're taking it down, because you don't have the level of endurance yet that you need. So normally people would be up at the 20 mile mark at least, or up at the 22 mile mark, and they will have done this for a number of weeks. And so the body is, you know, has done a lot of high mileage. They've done a number of weeks between kind of 18 and 22, 23 miles, and then they start to taper down. Whereas your body doesn't know what that is yet. It hasn't even experienced it.
Yeah.
So I would keep trying to see, can you even get up? Now, this is assuming your calf will take it. I'm not saying push. I would never advise push on injured muscles, but you know, I know you're going to do the best that you can, which is all you can do at this point. But I wouldn't be tapering down that early. You need to get up and you need to see what 15 miles, 16 miles feels like. And then in the last 2 weeks, then obviously give yourself some rest, because your calf is certainly going to need it.
So keep going and keep going until about 2 weeks before the marathon, and then start to ease off from there.
Yeah, for you, I that's what I would do. I probably wouldn't advise that normally for other runners. But for you, Peter, I think your body needs to see what it's like to get into that high mileage.
That's 100%, Diane. That's definitely what I need. Just the 6 weeks kind of threw me off a little bit. So I'm following a plan, but then the plan never goes to plan. So I'm trying to do what I can in the meantime and hope for the best, really, at the same time.
Absolutely. And I can see, like, it can be confusing to understand what to do. But the way it would go is, if you were giving yourself 18 weeks for a full marathon, if the plan says that the last six are tapering, that effectively gives you 12 weeks or 3 months to go from nothing to a full marathon, which is, to me, there's no hope of anyone coming out well the other side of that. So just note for future self, I would never, ever, ever give yourself 3 months to kind of run a marathon and then taper. It would never. I might do that for a 10 miler, but I wouldn't do it for a 26 miler. So just for you, we'll change the rules, get up into the mileage, see can your calf tolerate it. Because what you don't want, Peter, is your biggest test is going to be the half marathon, and you will learn a lot from that. But you don't want to go into your marathon, never have gone past 13 miles.
Okay.
Because you don't want to be halfway around the course and then you land in serious trouble and you have a huge distance to get to any sort of help or rest or relief like that. You just don't want to be in that situation, which is why I'm saying, see how you get on with the half marathon, and then you absolutely need some experience up in the higher mileage.
No, that's 100%, Diane. You mentioned endurance there a couple of minutes ago, and endurance is something I'm not used to, but I did a 14 kilometre walk, because I'm not allowed to jog. So I did a 14 kilometre quick walk, and about halfway through, it hit me. Where do you get the strength from to keep going? You know, when your body is asking all these questions of, oh God, do I have to do this? And, you know, can I drop out? Where do you get that kind of mental strength from, Diane? You know, when you're, obviously, what you've done is absolutely mind-blowing. Where do you get, like, when you're halfway through, you're at your low point, what do you focus on to get you through when your body is saying, oh, just give up?
The answer is what we've been talking about for you, which is what unfortunately you don't have is practice, right? So like I'll just give you an example. I'll just say before I answer that question. So my background is ultra endurance, and for many, many years I did ultra running and ultra mountain biking and stuff like that. But for that particular challenge, my partner was injured from running. His running days were over. So we decided, look, let's do something. Very few people have done something that would really push us and challenge us because we've done so many other things. But this was a big one. So this was like four, it was 40 days and it was probably seven, it was up to 17 hours a day of actual paddling. And then by the time you pitch your tent and you cook a bit of food, because it's self-supported, there's no one obviously around to help you. So you're down to a couple of hours sleep if you get any. You have to go again then and do it kind of 40 days in a row. But how it starts, Peter, is how you started. So I remember we took out the double. We bought this double we'd never been in before. We took it out and we took it to, now at the time I was working ferocious hours. I was doing 80-hour weeks, trying to finish PhDs and all sorts of stuff. So we took it out on the canal and I said, right, okay, here we go. Let's do an hour. And we did an hour. Now there's no waves or strong currents or storms or anything like that on the canal. So it's nice and flat, 1 hour. And I was so exhausted coming home from that hour. I had to go home and go to bed. So there's your starting point, right? So we have decided, so we have 6 months to do this 40-day challenge, which includes storms, which includes like it's a very unforgiving environment. But obviously we have experience. So I am very experienced in picking apart challenges and, working out your nutrition, working out your training plans. But the big thing, Peter, is, and you're learning this right now, is to give yourself enough time. So we start at the finish line and we know, right, we have to do 40 days, 17 hours a day, and then we work backwards. And then you make the plan based on that. And I always worked in a 4 week cycle. So I did 3 weeks of, hard training and then 1 recovery week. Now that doesn't mean you do nothing. It means that you take the intensity out of your sessions or you make them a bit shorter or you'll remove hills or do something, but you'll allow for that recovery week. And that is where everyone gets fitter and stronger. And that is where most people go wrong because they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and they don't give themselves enough time. That recovery time in each month is where all the adaptations happen. And you asked about mental strength. The mental strength picks up with the physical strength. So as you slowly and systematically work, pick your way through your training and you're ticking them off your training plan, and they're getting slightly longer and they're getting slightly more difficult over time, the mental strength picks up in exactly the same way. If I was to draw a graph of physical endurance and then mental endurance, they will follow each other. So what happens is if you don't put in the time and the training and all of that type of stuff, the mental strength will lag behind. So when you hit, like for in our case, storms, and we could literally have been paddling in the one spot for 3 hours because the tide changed. And if we don't do that, we will be pushed out to sea. It's a whole different thing. So we had the experience to know you can't rush that. You plan and you prepare and you train systematically, and that's where the mental strength comes from.
So your mental strength comes from the confidence and knowing that you have the physical ability to do it.
Absolutely. So every single training session that you do and that you achieve and you learn something from it, your body and mind is getting fitter and stronger in kind of in sync. And then, when we get out, like I said to you, get off the treadmill. Like there was no point in me training on a canal. Like I was going to encounter the ferocity of the Atlantic Ocean during storms and everything. So, it would have been absolutely crazy for me to train on a canal. So I had to get out into the environment. So we plan our training weeks. We get out, like when I started in January, when we were training on rivers, we were cracking ice to get into the rivers. We had to, practice rolling because if the boat rolls over because it's been bashed with waves, you have to be able to right yourself, or you're in freezing cold water and you now have serious situation. So we rolled and rolled and rolled and refined techniques and practice techniques in water that would literally, like, it's so cold that you, after a number of times, it's nearly painful and you can be completely disorientated. So you're practicing all of these situations. practice, 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 refine, refine, refine. And then over the weeks, you know, look, I can do this. I have worked on this. I have the skills. I have the navigational skills. I have the endurance. Like, that's another thing. Like, to do anything for 17 hours, you need to be endurance trained. If you're endurance trained, your body will happily take away using your body fats for energy. And we have lots of body fat to use for energy. If you're not endurance trained, what happens is you quickly move over into needing to use up your carbohydrate stores, and they're quite limited. And then people start getting, you know, the concentration slips. You're getting tired. You're getting cranky. Your mental resilience is slipping. You're making mistakes. A lot of that comes down to the level of conditioning that you have, and you're planning your nutrition and everything around that. So it's a huge science, actually. But it all comes from practice. Give yourself enough time. You cannot rush training, no matter what way you slice and dice it. No matter if you have 20 years experience, for every single event you do, you cannot rush the training. Or if you do, you will be minus that physical conditioning or minus that physical strength, or it's going to take you forever to recover, or you're going to get injuries and, you know, illnesses and all sorts of stuff. And that is the reality of it time and time and time again. So practice and experience, Peter, is like, you start at the bottom of the pile of resilience physically and mentally. And as you keep chipping away at it one at a time, that's where it all comes from.
Listening to what you had to go through to kayak around the country, marathon looks like a day in the park.
But do you know what, Peter? You know what I would say for yourself and for listeners, like, everyone has to start somewhere. And I remember starting my first 5K. And I remember my first time on a bike. And I even went in relation to the kayaking, I didn't have a big kayaking experience. We went around Ireland in the end of June, and I got in a sea kayak for the first time at the start of January. I wouldn't recommend that, but I had such faith and confidence in my previous 20 years experience. I knew I would be able to develop the skills, but I also knew that if it came to it and I couldn't, I would not endanger myself or my partner by getting into that boat if I couldn't handle it. So that's where the experience comes from. But everybody has to start somewhere. And you're talking about injuries. Like, we have seasoned marathon runners that pick up an injury. They have to start again. They have to recover, start again. After I had my little girl, after a hard pregnancy, I had to start all over again. And there will be times constantly in life where we have to start all over again. But the principles are the same. You pick your challenge, you give yourself enough time, you put in the work, and you get advice when you need it, and that's how it works.
Follow our entire journey from the start on the podcast section of Midlands103.com, or where you get your podcasts, you can just search Get Active with Midlands 103.
Get Active with Midlands 103, powered by HearMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Hear when you need us. HearMed.ie.